From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. When President Obama gave his speech on Tuesday night, tucked in among the calls for deficit reduction, immigration reform, gun control, smart government, he said this country needs to build a better bridge from the classroom to the workplace, from the high school classroom, a new kind of vocational education. High schools working with community colleges and corporations to directly prepare American teenagers for the math and science-heavy jobs out there, like Germany does, he said. Is this the beginning of something big? This hour, On Point, the president's call for jobs training in the nation's high schools. You can join the conversation. Is it high time? Will it work here? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We're happy to hear from you there. Later this hour, we'll look at the president's interactive college scorecard, where you can grade the bang for the buck colleges are offering in higher ed. But let's listen back for a moment to the president in his State of the Union speech, talking first about jobs and education broadly. This flip side of American workers getting good skills-based education, said the president, is a private sector with good jobs at good wages.
Now, to grow our middle class, our citizens have to have access to the education and training that today's jobs require. But we also have to make sure that America remains a place where everyone who's willing to work, everybody who's willing to work hard, has the chance to get ahead.
And where would he dive in? Well, here's one place. The president talking about Germany, what they do there in terms of education, apprenticeships, cooperation between business and the education structure. Here's the president in his State of the Union.
Right now, countries like Germany focus on graduating their high school students with the equivalent of a technical degree from one of our community colleges. So those German kids, they're ready for a job when they graduate high school. They've been trained for the jobs that are there. Now at schools like PTEC in Brooklyn, a collaboration between New York Public Schools and City University of New York and IBM, students will graduate with a high school diploma and an associate's degree in computers or engineering. We need to give every American student opportunities like this.
The president, in his State of the Union address, we're going to go to folks with that school he mentioned, PTEC in Brooklyn. We're going to talk to people who know very well how it works in Germany, how that compares to the American system. Let's go right into the whole high school education question. First, from Bethesda, Maryland, Allison Klein joins us. She's a staff writer for Education Week. Allison, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
This isn't the first time the Obama administration has brought this up. What is he proposing?
Well, President Obama actually has a package of proposals that would help redesign or revamp high schools. One is to create a sort of race to the top, which is a competitive grant program for high school improvement to incentivize states and districts and schools to revamp their high schools, make the curriculum more rigorous more geared toward the jobs that we have now.
That one we already know about, right? We heard a lot about that in the last year. Who was winning? Who wasn't? The impact of that? Where do jobs and jobs training come in?
Actually, the Race to the Top for high schools would be a new program.
Okay.
There's already Race to the Top for a number of different states, but that was kind of geared at revamping your entire education system.
I see.
Including pre-K, a lot on K through 12, including elementary schools. This would just be focused at the high school level. So it is a brand new proposal.
Okay.
There's also a proposal to redesign federal career and technical education programs. That's actually the largest federal program that goes to high schools, gets more than $1 billion a year. Mr. Obama wants those programs also to become more rigorous, more focused on the jobs that are actually out there.
So when he says in his State of the Union, I'm announcing a new challenge to redesign America's high schools to better equip graduates for the demands of a high-tech economy, says he's going to reward schools that develop new partnerships with colleges and employers, what's he talking about?
Well, we're still actually waiting for details from the White House and the administration on this. But what it sounds to me like they're talking about is creating, as I said, a competitive grant program to redesign high schools, and then also revamping this existing federal program, the Career and Technical Education Program, to make it more focused on those goals, more focused on preparing students for the jobs that are actually out there. What the president wants to do is give states a lot more control over that program so they can align it to industries that they see, coming up in their state.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the money... pretty much goes, some of it will go to a high school, some of it would go to a post-secondary institution. What Mr. Obama has proposed doing is having those groups all share one grant, so they would have to work together to make so that students would be would see post-secondary institutions in their high school. They would see the impact of career of local businesses in their high school. So they'd all be working together.
But as with a race to the top kind of structure that incents people to get in here, innovate, and compete to get those rewards.
Well, it was actually a two-pronged approach, right? There's the race to the top, which would be a competitive grant program. The career and technical education program, which is goes to everybody right now. It goes out by formula. So states would get to compete for some extra competitive money, but there would also be money that everybody gets right now, and they would just change how that money flows and what states do with it.
There's the push, and by raising Germany, he puts a pretty high bar out there. They've done a lot of this for a long time. Allison Klein with Education Week. Thanks very much for being with us, Allison.
Thank you.
Let's bring in a couple of people who know a lot about how this works internationally, in the States and abroad, Germany. The president talked in his State of the Union address about PTEC in Brooklyn, a collaboration between New York Public Schools, City University of New York, and IBM. Stan Litow joins us. He's vice president of corporate citizenship and corporate affairs, president of the IBM Foundation, and former deputy chancellor of the New York City Public Schools. He's a co-founder of PTEC, the school the president talked about Tuesday night. Stan Litow in Washington, thanks very much for being with us.
Delighted to be here.
And with us from Paris is Simon Field. He heads up research on vocational education and training at the OECD's Directorate for Education. He's studied vocational training around the world, from the U.S. and Germany to Chile and China. He's leading a big review of post-secondary career and technical education across the U.S., which will be coming out later this year. Simon Field in Paris, thank you for being there.
A pleasure to be with you.
Stan, first, tell us about PTEC. The president's giving a big shout-out to what you've been involved with here. What is the collaboration? How has it worked at this particular school?
Well, it is a collaboration between IBM, the Department of Education, and the City University, as you indicated. And it's a new model for a high school, community college connected to career. So it's at grade 9 through 14 school. It's the first one was situated, PTEC, is situated in Brooklyn, across from a public housing project, Albany Houses in Crown Heights. And it's a public school. It's not a charter school. There's no special exam to get in. It's an open enrollment school that operates within existing budgetary guidelines and the like. But the actual curriculum in the school incorporates the standard course curriculum, but it also includes the specific work skills that are required for entry-level positions at a company like IBM. So the classes are being taught a little bit differently to include a focus in on broader kinds of skills that are required in the workplace around teaming and knowledge acquisition and presentation skills and the kinds of things that are valued in the workplace.
How involved has IBM been, Stan, in designing that curriculum?
Well, very involved. We did this. We took 9 different job areas where we hire for, and we took the specific skill requirements, and we back-ended them directly into the curriculum. We've provided every student with an IBM mentor, so all the 9th graders and all the 10th graders. The school has now got 2 classes of students, and it will eventually get 6. But every student gets an IBM mentor. The students spend their time on working on a variety of different projects together. IBMers work with them on those projects. They do field visits to IBM research facilities and the like. We help them to design a workplace curriculum that's incorporated into the school. And we're just a full partner in every element of the program that's taking place at the school.
But you're not guaranteeing these graduates a job. How confident are you that they will come out of this program, which is, I think, 6 years instead of 4, you know, job ready and, in fact, lined up for a job?
Well, first of all, we're making a commitment that every student who completes 6 years with their associate's degree in technology or computer science will be first in line for jobs at IBM.
Okay.
And that's so that we don't have any legal challenges from other people who had other kind of preparation who think that they should be guaranteed jobs. So first in line is a pretty strong commitment.
Yeah.
And what students get at the end of the 6-year period is a high school diploma plus an associate's degree plus the agreement that they're first in line for jobs. And now the reason why we feel encouraged at the end of this period of time is that among the 10th graders, about half of them have already completed college credits. And about 50% of them at the end of the 10th grade will have between 11 and 14 college credits already accumulated.
Stan, if you'd stand by right there, I want to get Simon in before our first break here, and we want to learn much more about PTEC. Simon, you're listening patiently in Paris, and I appreciate it. Overall, Simon, we'll get in more detail here, but how does the U.S. stack up when it comes to vocational training for its high school students, Simon?
Well, the U.S. is actually rather distinctive. If you look at the high school systems of most countries, they're not like the U.S. system with the comprehensive high school. Very commonly across the world, what you will see is a vocational track at high school level, so that some of the high school students are being prepared for post-secondary education, general academic education. But then there's another group who are being prepared in a vocational high school or in an apprenticeship for particular careers or particular jobs.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the president's call for almost job training in high school, vocational education taken to a new level, making a direct link to the working world, practically to specific jobs. He talked about it in his State of the Union address on Tuesday night. Here he was talking about a new competition he's laying out to get schools in line to feed students into jobs ready to go.
4 years ago, we started Race to the Top, a competition that convinced almost every state to develop smarter curricula and higher standards, all for about 1% of what we spend on education each year. Tonight, I'm announcing a new challenge: to redesign America's high schools so they better equip graduates for the demands of a high-tech economy. And we'll reward schools that develop new partnerships with colleges and employers and create classes that focus on science, technology, engineering, and math, the skills today's employers are looking for to fill the jobs that are there right now and will be there in the future.
The president, in his State of the Union address, with the new track, CTE, is called not Voc Ed anymore, but Career and Technical Education. He wants to bring it right into the high schools. Stan Litow is with us. He's with IBM. He was former deputy chancellor of New York City's public schools, and he's co-founder of PTEC, the public school cited by President Obama in his State of the Union on Tuesday night. Simon Field is with us from Paris. He's heads up research and vocational education training at the OECD and has looked at vocational training all over the world. Stan, Simon, I want to hear more from you. Let's hear a little from our listeners about what they're thinking as we begin to look at this. Larry in Indianapolis, Indiana. Larry, thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Pretty well. What do you see, Larry?
Well, I was telling you before, I graduated from high school in 69. And back then, they had trade courses you could take to prepare you to go into the workplace. And in the past 20, 30 years, I've been surprised at how kids are coming out of high school and they have to go to community college or junior college just to get the skills necessary for work that they should have been getting in high school. And I don't think that's right.
So are you with the president? Bring that right, bring that back and get it into high school?
Yes, I think he's exactly on the money on that, because I lived for 20 years over in Finland, used to be married to a Finn, and over there after middle school, a student's academic achievement helps them determine are they better suited to go into trades and go to trade school or go to university.
Larry, I really appreciate your call from Indianapolis, and I want to bring it right up with Stan Litow. And Stan, this raises interesting questions. First of all, to Larry's point, the sort of vocational education, trade courses, as he calls them, that we used to have, is that what's being exercised at PTEC? Is it the same kind of thing? Is it entirely different? I mean, 1969 brings to mind images of, you know, industrial ed and wood shop and in some schools even hairdressing. But you're talking about STEM, science, technology, you know, engineering, mathematics. Is this like old Voc Ed or something different, Stan?
It's totally different. It's a real innovation. First of all, we're talking about not a narrow set of skills to prepare for a very, very specific narrow job. We're talking about the kinds of work skills that are valued that will allow people to build a career, grow, and expand their learning. So what this is an opportunity for the workplace kinds of skills, knowledge acquisition, teaming, verbal skills, writing skills, integrated into the actual curriculum. So if you went into a math class, for example, at PTEC, the school that the president talked about, the students would be learning hard math skills, algebra and geometry, but they'd be learning it through teaming around a project, learning how to develop a product, sell it, market it, advertise it. They'd be learning how to put together a business strategy or a business plan.
Pretty business-oriented at that end of it. Pretty workplace and business-oriented there.
It would be, but it would be different in some of the English classes or some of the physics classes, so it wouldn't be all around narrow set of business skills. So it's a way of valuing the kind of skills that will be valued as in a career, not in a narrow way.
Understood. And may I ask, Stan? Larry says, you know, it used to be that you could get prepared in high school, and now, you know, the president, among many others, is always talking about how we need more college grads. Is it possible in this higher skill world? I mean, I remember voc ed, you know, bending metal. Is it possible to get the skills that you need with 4 years of high school now? You're already doing six in your program, so maybe just a high school voc ed isn't enough no matter what anymore.
Well, the 6 years, you get your entire community college associate's degree in computer science and technology.
Exactly.
And you start taking those college courses beginning between the 9th and 10th grade, in the 10th and 11th grade. So some students actually will complete their college and high school in less than 6 years. So I think it is very, very different from that old school kind of model of vocational education. And it really reflects the kinds of needs that people have in the workplace for a higher level of skills. And instead of educating students without those skills or saying you've got to go to college to take them, it's integrated into their high school program. The other thing that's important to know here is that nationally, right now, a relatively small percentage of the students who begin community college actually complete it in the two-year program, only about 25%. So 75% of the students who had a high school diploma enroll in a community college don't have the skills to be able to be successful at it. So by integrating the kind of learning into their high schools, you're doing two things. Number one, you're going to graduate the students with the kind of degree that's going to mean a middle-class job and an acceptable lifestyle. But also, you're going to be making sure that a significantly larger number of those students actually get that degree. And if you look at the comparison right now, Tom, with a high school diploma going out into the workforce, you're going to earn on average of $15 an hour. But with an associate's degree in an area like technology or computer science, you're going to start with a salary at around $40,000 a year. So there's a clear difference to the individual, and there's a clear difference to the society.
Simon Field, in Paris, you said that this would mark a kind of philosophical change, or the U.S. is philosophically different from much of the rest of the world in that it has historically aimed to provide a kind of full, rounded, comprehensive education to all of its students in high school. So what's gained and what's lost if it goes to a more vocationally oriented profile, Simon?
Well, let's think about what one of the good things about a vocational tracks can be and what some of the bad things might be. Certainly one of the bad things of vocational tracks is when children are tracked very early on in life, in other words, around the age of 11, which certainly does happen in a number of European countries, and the effects on educational outcomes, particularly the equity of educational outcomes, is very bad.
And they're sort of stuck forever at that tier.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Conversely, what's really good about a vocational track is the kind of seamless transition into the labor market that you can get, particularly in the strongest apprenticeship programs that integrate workplace learning, as Germany does and a number of other countries. I mean, the great thing about workplace learning is that not only is our workplace is a fabulous place to learn all sorts of soft skills and hard skills, but they also provide a way for students to get to know employers, employers to get to know students, and ultimately often those employers will recruit those students. So it's a very smooth transition into employment very frequently.
Simon, can you describe for us, since the president brought up Germany in particular, and Germany's very keen on these apprenticeships, can you describe their system? There it's more than just schools and business. Labor unions, I believe, also have a very large role in Germany. How does the German system work here?
Well, the German system of apprenticeship in particular is one in which both organized labor and organized industry, orchestrated by government in a kind of tripartite arrangement, manage the entire system. Including the qualification structure.
Really, the flow of young people into the working world and jobs.
Yes, to a great extent. Mm-hmm. And in a German dual system apprenticeship, you will go typically 4 days a week into an employer who will look after that apprentice and have significant training responsibilities, which they take very seriously, mm-hmm. and they will be monitored and quality assured. And then typically 1 day a week to a part-time vocational college where they will underpin their workplace skills with some of the more theoretical skills and broader education that they need, and that takes place over 3 or 4 years in the later teenage years.
Can that system work here, Simon, where we have, first of all, much less union presence at all, much less interaction or coordination between business and government? Do you think it can work on a wide scale in the U.S.?
Yes and no. You do have an apprenticeship system, but it's on a relatively small scale in the United States. It's very much dominated by the construction industry. The U.S. labor market is highly deregulated, which means that employers have the option of simply taking someone on and then training them if they like them and lose them if they don't, which mm-hmm. that doesn't exist in Germany, where there's a much more regulated labor force, and employers typically don't want to take on someone unless they're sure they're already trained, as in an apprenticeship. But it's interesting to see that, I mean, you mentioned that the tripartite arrangement with labor and employers. In Washington State, mm-hmm. there's a very interesting model whereby the workforce board is in fact a tripartite arrangement involving the state government and employers working together and unions working together. But that's pretty unusual in the United States.
Simon, stand by in Paris. Stan Litow in Washington. Let's get our listeners in here. Kelly in Buffalo, New York. What do you think, Kelly?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
My opinion is that, well, my children were born and raised in Italy, and they went to the schools in Italy. My children went to a lyceum-type school. Okay. But I noticed that out of middle school, they're already trying to track children into a vocational versus pre-college type of school situation. And I just think that, that was just too early to make those kind of choices. I think the American system is better because it gives you that comprehensive, quote-unquote, liberal arts type of basis. And after, when you're 18 or 19, you're old enough to make those decisions, then you make those decisions. I didn't feel comfortable having my children choose at 12 years old what the path of the rest of their life was going to look like.
So you've seen it up close, and you're not so sure you like it. Kelly in Buffalo, let us hold that thought, if you would, and I'll get one more right here and take it to Stan and Simon. Jonathan in Boston. Jonathan, you're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
First time caller, long time listener. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. What do you know?
This topic is very near and dear to me because I actually dropped out of high school at an early age, and I went back, got my GED, followed the community college route, and found that type of sort of vocational training was not enough for me. So I had to, I continued my education, and I went on to get a scholarship to Tufts University.
Okay.
I finished. I did very well.
Good
now
you.
Now I'm studying to become a lawyer. I'm studying for the LSAT. So I definitely think it's a good thing to give young kids the choice, give them the option for vocational training, but I don't think it's a solution. Because what's missing, in my opinion, are the humanities in America. It seems like we're trying to pump out a labor force, but we're not giving We're not giving the students the skills needed to think critically and sort of manipulate the system and use the system. We're teaching them to just fit into the system, which is almost a detriment. I went to Tufts, a very liberal school, and it surprised me at the percentage of students that were actually just economists, engineers, nothing against those trades, but the humanities seem to be ignored. They seem to be on a progressive decline, and I think it's hurting our students. It's really hurting our kids.
Jonathan, I think the sky's the limit for you. Keep going, my friend, and I appreciate your call. Stan Litow, what about those two callers? Kelly, who did it with her kids in Italy, saw it there and thinks it's too limiting to get, you know, pushed into that vocational track after middle school. Jonathan, who was in that track and found it was kind of a glass ceiling, you know, cracked it and kept going, but is not so sure. What do you say, Stan?
Well, I think that the innovation that's demonstrated at PTEC and the innovation that the president was talking about in the State of the Union really takes us not to a 20th century version of this, but the 21st century version. You can incorporate work skills into the full curriculum. And keep in mind, we're not talking about a narrow set of work skills. We're talking about how people work successfully in careers that have a real opportunity for success. So the students at PTEC don't lose their humanities. They have an opportunity to take all of those courses. But integrated into how they learn those courses, whether it's physics or math or English or social studies, are teaming opportunities where students work on projects together. They learn their actual skills, whether they're hard skills or soft skills, but they learn them and incorporate them into also learning how to be successful in college and in the workplace. And those students that are going to finish with an associate's degree guaranteed if they finish, many of them are going to go on and get bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, and the like. Because what is happening in the workforce, over the next 10 years, there are going to be about 14 million jobs that are going to be created for students who have these kinds of skills that are needed with an associate's degree. If we don't change, we just continue to do what we're doing, we're going to have the students who are not going to be graduating to have those jobs, and they will disappear. So
the jobs will disappear? They'll go elsewhere, you mean, if we don't produce the workforce to take them, to do them?
That would be the fear. And certainly our students can get the skills, they can compete, they can take those jobs, they can get those skills, and they can have the kind of a lifestyle that we would like them to have. I don't think we're talking about tracking. I don't think we're talking about the 1950s or 60s version of vocational education, narrow set of skills. We're talking about something that responds to what the needs are in the workplace right now and what our kids desperately want.
This may put a floor under young students, Simon Field. In Germany, does it also put a ceiling over them? Does it sort of limit their upward mobility?
I think the truth is it has done in the past. I mean, at present, there are tremendous efforts going on to develop the upward pathways between apprenticeships in particular so that the apprentices can enter higher education and universities should they wish.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the president's call for almost job training in high school, vocational education taken to a new level, he and others say, making a direct link to the working world. Yesterday, he was at an auto parts factory in Asheville, North Carolina, told the story of a worker named Jeff Brower who lost his job as a diesel mechanic, went back to community college to retool himself, and
a few months ago, Jeff got his diploma. He graduated on a Wednesday, interviewed at this plant on Thursday. By Friday, he was working as a machine operator.
That's the kind of path the president seems to want available to high school graduates who would have a kind of community college-level education rolled right in there. What's the need? Well, here's NPR's Ari Shapiro talking with Scott Paul of the Alliance for American Manufacturing, who said there are 250,000 manufacturing jobs that need to be filled in this country, but workers are not getting the right training to fill them.
The infrastructure that once supported that in this country through vocational education has largely disappeared, and we're having to rebuild that.
So what's it going to take? Is it something that directs students right toward jobs right out of high school? Stan Litow is with us. He's co-founder of PTEC, the school the president pointed to in Brooklyn, former deputy chancellor of the New York City Public Schools, president of the IBM Foundation, IBM right in the middle of the PTEC project, which is underway now. Simon Field is with us from Paris in France at the OECD, looking at vocational education there, author of No More Failures, 10 Steps to Equity in Education and Learning for Jobs. Stan, Simon, lots of listeners calling in here. Nancy in New Orleans. Thanks for calling, Nancy. You're on.
Hi, Tom. I am a former chemistry teacher in high school and public school in Florida.
Yeah.
And now I work in the oil industry as a chemist. And I think this program is wonderful, and I would, in a heartbeat, hire an apprentice to work with me in the oil field.
So what about the path, though? Is that what you're a teacher? Do students want to get on this path, or do students and their parents think, no, that means I'm self-limiting, or does it look like a good thing?
No, because I come from a family of engineers and chemists and stuff, and this program teaches you to be an intellectual. And the wonderful part of it is a mentoring program that what teaches you that people in industry don't suffer fools gladly. So you're going to have highly motivated, disciplined, and intellectual people.
So bring it on, says the former chemistry teacher and the mentors out of the working world, no small part of it. Nancy, thanks for your call from New Orleans. One more from John in Kensington, Connecticut. John, you're on.
Tom, I would have one word, and that's beware. I have 1 foot in boiling water, 1 foot in freezing cold water. I don't like either one of them. On average, I'm okay.
Beware of what?
I grew up in New Britain, Connecticut.
Yep.
We were the hardware city of the world. 35 years ago, I was on the city council in Alderman 21. We were called down to the great barons of industry, and they were trying to persuade us to teach our kids to be factory workers for them. Make that the most ambitious endeavor of the high school.
Yeah.
And you know what? Stanley Works, Fafner Bearing, Corbin Lock, Russ Winterworld, they're all gone.
So they said train for us, and then they disappeared. I appreciate your call, John. Stan Litow, what about that risk here, that high schools train for IBM or who else? And we know these days anything can change, and change in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. And that's why I think that this new model where the curriculum actually teaches kids with career skills that are going to be useful to the jobs of the 21st century is better than going in and saying we want you to have this narrow set of skills for this one job that exists today. I think what the president was talking about is recasting career opportunity where it begins in the high school. It's not a track. It's not a narrow set of skills that might be disappearing, but it's the ability to acquire skills, to be able to build those skills and have the jobs of the 21st century. And they're not any longer a narrow set of skills. Look, even in Germany, things are changing. We at IBM had an opportunity to work through another one of our grant programs, a Smarter Cities Challenge, with a city in Germany called Dortmund. And they have the existing program, but the mix of jobs in that community has changed, and they have to change.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bottom line here is if you do the same thing in education that you've done for the last 50 years and expect to be able to prepare people successfully for the kind of changes that have taken place in the workplace, you're shortchanging children, and you're cutting off your nose to spite your face by not directly connecting to U.S. competitiveness and career opportunity. And this isn't the old version of vocational education, preparing for a job that could disappear tomorrow. It's building the kind of skills that can give you a career opportunity for the long haul.
But if you're going to go down that STEM path, science, technology, engineering, math, I mean, those are kind of sky's the limit areas. Why stop with the equivalent of 2 years of community college? The president has said in the past, everybody should go to college. What about for these people, Stan?
Well, let me give you an example.
What's enough when it comes to STEM? Those are high sky fields.
Well, we brought the students from PTEC, and by the way, there are five other schools that opened just this September in Chicago, on the same model, also looking very successful. But we brought a group of students from PTEC to the IBM research facility, and they met people who are working at IBM, who began at IBM with an associate's degree, but then went on and got their bachelor's and master's degrees. They met many people who the associate's degree might be the opportunity to get a job, but it doesn't have to be the end. If you choose to go on and get further education, there are lots of people who use those skills and use those credentials to be able to take the first step on the ladder, but then they're going to be able to go upward as opposed to being stuck before they even get to the first rung.
Sounds good if you can do it. Bridget, in West Cornwall, Connecticut. Bridget, you're on.
Hi, Tom. Hi. I think this is a great show, and I just like to say that I think that it'll make a lot of high school kids happier, which I think is a huge factor. I think that the education system is geared towards, you know, intellectuals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that happiness for our children is huge. And I think that's an important thing to think about.
Not everybody's going to be an intellectual, so give them a path as well. And yet we've got a creed where we don't want to limit people. But I take your point, and you may be right. And we certainly don't want to leave kids with, you know, whose jib is cut that way, just dangling without a way to go forward. Bridget, thanks. One more. David in Iowa City. David, you're on.
Hi, Tom. One of the points I wanted to make was I think this is a win-win partly for university students, people who do not go this route. I used to teach in France, and the difference between graduating high school senior in a normal academic school and our high school seniors was really remarkable.
In what way?
Those are students who are about the equivalent of second or third year college students here in terms of their intellectual sophistication. So these are, so what I think this would do is not only provide great technical opportunities for students who go to that kind of school, but it would kind of eliminate the bimodal kind of population that we tend to see at the university level, where you have students who are not quite prepared for the challenges of university life, and it would allow then the teachers and the curriculum to be designed to be a little bit more aggressive and address the needs of students who truly are ready. So the everybody goes to college model here has a bit of a downside that they can also address and improve for.
So
university.
Do some sorting, acknowledge that, and everybody may be better off. Simon Field, you're listening from Paris. What's your advice to the U.S.? I mean, we don't even know how far the president will get with this, but if this push goes forward, what does the U.S. have to think about in particular, given our history, our culture, our education system, to make this successful, Simon?
Well, I think one of the key things is that work-based learning is enormously effective, and that can be integrated more fully into the U.S. high school system. I mean, I think the student's choice of vocational paths is very important too. If you look around the world, where things go wrong is where, as it were, the vocational track is for those who can't really hack it in the academic schools. And then it becomes stigmatized, and then there's a problem. I mean, in hearing about PTEC, clearly that is a high status track, so you don't have that problem. And so I think that making sure that the students have the choice is very important. Involving employers is extremely important. Career guidance is absolutely vital. We've been talking about the difficulties that one of your earlier callers spoke, one of the difficulties of young people choosing the track that they should follow early on in life, and that is a challenge. And it's interesting, say in South Carolina, they linked strengthening CTE with strengthening career guidance, so the kids got some advice about the tracks to follow. Just going back to your penultimate caller there, who mentioned high schools shouldn't all just be for the intellectuals. I mean, to put that into research terms, I mean, there's evidence that shows that more vocational modules actually improves high school completion, and that's common sense in a way. It engages kids who are not necessarily that turned on by trigonometry.
Stan Litow, we just got half a second here. Are employers ready to step up and really do the work to cooperate effectively on this front?
They're not only ready to step up, but they have to step up, because our interest is the same as the community's interest. We need people who have these skills so our businesses grow. They need the kind of skills to have a creative and successful lifestyle. And the U.S. needs this to be competitive.
So, Stan Litow, co-founder of PTEC, the school the president's talking about there in Brooklyn with IBM. Thanks for joining us today, Stan.
Thank you very much.
And Simon Field with the OECD in Paris. Simon, great to have you. Thanks for joining us.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you very much.
In a moment, we'll look at the president's new college scorecard. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. The president focused on three education challenges during his speech on Tuesday: preschool, jobs training, and the spiraling cost of a college education. For that last one, the administration has launched a new interactive website meant to help American families assess which colleges are really delivering value. Bang for the buck. Here's the president talking on Tuesday night about the problem.
Now, even with better high schools, most young people will need some higher education. It's a simple fact. The more education you've got, the more likely you are to have a good job and work your way into the middle class. But today, skyrocketing costs price too many young people out of a higher education or saddle them with unsustainable debt.
So here's at least a piece of the answer he's proposing in the State of the Union address.
So tonight, I ask Congress to change the Higher Education Act so that affordability and value are included in determining which colleges receive certain types of federal aid. And tomorrow, my administration will release a new college scorecard that parents and students can use to compare schools based on a simple criteria: where you can get the most bang for your educational buck.
Bang for the buck in higher education. With us now from Washington is Kevin Kiley, reporter for the journal Inside Higher Ed. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
The scorecard is up. How does it work, or how's it supposed to work? What's it show you?
Well, so this is a tool that the White House has kind of been building to for a while, and so it lets you search on various dimensions, kind of what program you're interested in, the size of the institution, what kind of degree you want,
yep.
And it produces information for you on kind of the price of the institution's graduation rate, default rate on loans, median borrowing, and then they hope at some point to kind of have information about employment outcomes and salary outcomes for students who graduate from that institution.
And so I'm looking at this, and I see, so I can see what the cost is overall, as you say. Graduation rate, that's very important. You've got some institutions where, you know, it's not a good number. Loan default rate, I guess that's a pretty good indicator of employment and earnings power. And median borrowing, with the very heavy debt that a lot of students have taken on, that's important to know as well. Is this something people have been clamoring for? Have they been flying blind without it?
Well, so over the past few years, we've seen kind of a large focus on college costs, and it's kind of come to dominate a lot of the debate about college going. But there is a lot of kind of confusing information about out there about price and that sort of thing. And so a couple of things that this tool does really well, according to some people, is gets out this idea of net price. And so you look at a place like Williams College, which has a sticker price of over $40,000 a year.
Yeah.
And when you look at it on the tool, kind of when you take into account loans and grants and scholarships and grants, not loans, the price that the average person pays to go to a place like Williams is actually more like $16,000 a year. And so that's information that's sometimes hard to come by when you're just looking at the general college search. And same thing with graduation rates and loan default rates and how much students borrow to go. And so lots of people say this is a good tool to get that kind of information out there.
So that's net price, and I get that. But bang for the buck would seem to indicate something else as well, at least to a novice here, like how good an education is it and how much employment capacity do people come out holding from that school? Is there a way to measure that? Are they going to try?
So they are trying that. So when you look at over the past few years, they've been gathering data on for-profit institutions, so places like the University of Phoenix, Kaplan University, about what kind of job placement and loan repayment possibilities students come out of the institution with. And so they're trying to gather that data from other institutions as well. And at this point, if you look at the scorecard, they don't have that information out there yet, which some people say is a problem. But it does look like they're trying to gather it. And right now, I think the way they're going is lots of institutions gather this data themselves, and that seems to be the direction that, the White House is going to head with this.
They've got their scorecard up. You can link to it at our website, onpointradio.org. How are colleges and universities responding, Kevin? Do they like this kind of blunt instrument measurement that the White House is putting up against their performance?
So when it came out yesterday, and we heard from a few critics of the tool, I think one of the biggest criticisms is that it does kind of oversimplify, according to some people, the college going process. And so there's little information about it's too much focused on the financial aspects of going to college, and so it doesn't talk about long-term life happiness, how much you actually learn at an institution, long-term earnings. The idea would be to focus on what you make right out of the program. And so people are saying it kind of focuses too much on this employability aspect of going to college, which lots of people say the real strength of the U.S. system is that it has been focused on creating a more well-rounded student.
But we know grading and ranking systems are powerful, too. Could this be a tool that sort of shakes out colleges? If you don't, you know, get a good kind of score on the college scorecard, you may be in trouble?
I think the administration is hoping that at least it gets people to focus more on these ideas of cost and efficiency and measuring outcomes in some sort of way, because it really hasn't been done all that well on a broad national scale and a way that you can compare across institutions until now.
And now it's there. It's up. It's a little slow. I don't know if it's perfect yet, but it's up on the rails. Kevin Kiley with Inside Higher Ed. Thanks very much for being with us today, Kevin.
Thank you.
Listeners, thanks for all your calls and insights today, as always. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.